Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, quick update. I did just get a response from Captain Dana McNeil with the Bozeman Police Department. And Captain McNeil, thank you so much for the early morning response here. So KBZK Television had this headline: man accused of raping woman after leaving downtown Bozeman bar. A man is accused of rape after allegedly bringing a woman who witnesses say appeared very intoxicated to his apartment from a downtown Bozeman bar in September. But nowhere in the story does it include the name of the suspect. The article does not mention his name. The charge, the arrest date, and the bond total and the detainer all match up. This was shared by a Twitter account, an X account, Illegal Alien Crimes. You can follow them on X at Immigrant Crimes. Anyway, I got a heads up on this information that they shared. They basically they point out that there is now a man in custody in the Gallatin County Jail. He was arrested by the Bozeman Police Department for sexual intercourse without consent charges, and he is on an immigration hold. Now, what we know is that oftentimes more liberal prosecutors will not want us to know whether these are illegal aliens or not. And instead, the only information we will get is, well, they're on an ICE hold. So very likely is an illegal alien, but also could be under some sort of other immigration status. So anyway, this Illegal Alien Crimes account was exactly spot on. The Bozeman Police Department now confirming that the story about the man accused of raping a woman after leaving a downtown Bozeman bar, yes, that is Dagoberto Soto, who was arrested for sexual intercourse without consent and who is currently on an immigration detainer hold in the Gallatin County Jail. Now, another big story at the national level, you have an Afghan national, a man from Afghanistan who was allowed into this country without proper vetting. He is now behind bars because he wanted to commit a massive terrorist attack on Election Day in America. Is anybody surprised? Is anybody surprised? I mean, this story about this alleged rape in Bozeman following an incident at a downtown bar involving somebody who's now on an immigration hold, it reminds us of the Afghan parolee in Missoula, Montana, who was accused of raping a young woman in Missoula. And so now we have an Afghan national who wanted to commit a terrorist attack in this country on Election Day. Is anybody surprised at any of this? It's happening all over the country. It's happening in Montana. They allowed anybody to come. Meanwhile, they wouldn't let our friends get out of Afghanistan. But yet, the guy who allegedly raped the girl in Missoula gets out of Afghanistan. The guy who wants to blow up America on Election Day got out of Afghanistan.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Congress will have to approve another batch of money for FEMA in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. FEMA has money to tackle Helene, but the severity of the storm is bleeding FEMA's coffers. That worries Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who says FEMA lacks money to make it through the end of the hurricane season, November 30th. While Congress was expected to reload FEMA just before Christmas, it may need to pass a bill as soon as lawmakers return to Washington in mid-November, plus do another bill to handle the rest of the damage from Helene and address additional natural disasters. The price tag for Helene could be massive, but some lawmakers believe the storm gives Congress an opportunity to recalibrate priorities and not spend money overseas or on programs to help communities cope with illegal immigrants. But despite some Republicans saying FEMA lacks the money because it's dealing with the border crisis, DHS says it was, quote, false. The agency diverted hurricane money. The White House accused Republicans of using the storm to divide people before the election. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. The skies remain sunny today. High temperatures range from around 80 degrees in Bozeman to the mid-80s in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear to partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures from the upper 40s in Bozeman, 53 in Billings. And then on Thursday, mix of clouds and sun. Highs from 68 in Bozeman to 73 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Great running into so many folks from across Montana. I was in Whitefish for the Montana Equipment Dealers Association annual meeting. We ran into a ton of great folks, including Gary Perry. Gary Perry is the state representative who represents Colstrip, Montana. We had a great conversation talking about our nation's stupid energy policy right now. We talked about the attacks on Colstrip and how Liberal Senator John Tester won't even visit Colstrip. That story and much more, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, he came here because he watched the TV show Yellowstone. That's why this guy ended up in Bozeman, Montana. He watched the TV show Yellowstone. That's why crime is going up in Bozeman. It's because of the TV show Yellowstone. I just had to throw that one out there because I saw MSN.com has a story here where they're blaming the popularity of the TV show Yellowstone for rising crime in Bozeman, Montana. And it's like, actually, it's John Tester and Kamala Harris's open borders and the Mexican drug cartels that have moved in and are targeting Bozeman and the Gallatin Valley and the Big Sky area. That's what's causing the increase in crime. Certainly we've seen an increase in people because of the Yellowstone TV show. Drug cartels, immigration, shenanigans across the board. Wide open borders, that's the increase in the crime here. But anyway, had to throw that one in there. Let's see. A little bit of good news for you here. Some good news for our friends in Butte. Butte, America. Got a note here from Senator Steve Daines's office. Tuesday afternoon, the Department of Transportation announcing that SkyWest will provide Butte with an additional 13 total weekly round trips to Denver International Airport and Salt Lake City International Airport from January 1st, 2025 until December 31st, 2027. These flights have been added as part of the Essential Air Service program, of which Senator Daines has been a longtime supporter. Senator Steve Daines saying this about the additional flights between Butte and Denver and Butte and Salt Lake City. He says, quote, "This is great news for Butte and all of Southwest Montana. Additional flights in the region will help folks stay connected and ease the burden of travel for Montanans and visitors alike. I'm glad to see Essential Air Services benefiting Montana communities and will continue to support this critical program." New flights, 13 total weekly round trips to Denver and Salt Lake from Butte as part of this announcement. As many of you know, those of you in eastern Montana know and up on the High Line know, Essential Air Service is also the funding that allows for those Cape Air flights between Billings and Havre, Glasgow, Wolf Point, Sydney, Glendive, et cetera. So similar program there that Butte is able to capitalize off of with these new flights to Denver and Salt Lake City. Let's see. I know we're getting short on time. We got a great guest joining us here in just a few minutes. We're going to dive into this rank concept of rank choice voting. I've got a couple of that's not until later. That's not till later in the 8 o'clock hour and the 9 o'clock hours of the show. We're going to do a fact check for you. We're going to fact check the fake phony fact checkers who all these stupid TV station fact checks. Guys, like, it's not working for you. You know, go back to covering house fires and, you know, and like, hey, like,
Maybe send your TV cameras out to go get video of the triple shooting on the south side of Billings. The fact-checking is not working for you. You are not getting your facts. So why don't you go back to covering local crime and, you know, fires and things like that. Dispatch a crew out to the Elk Fire, which is now topping, what, 70,000 acres in northern Wyoming and in southeastern Montana. But, yeah, these fake, phony fact-checkers. I mean, one of these fact-checks where they claim that, these TV ads where they say that white farmers were discriminated against. Oh, that never happened. That didn't happen. They didn't do that. I've seen two different, you know, fake media reports saying that, oh, yeah, that didn't happen. Yeah, here's our fact check. Hey, you guys are nuts. We saw it with our own eyes. We talked about it right here on this show back in 2021. Well, coming up after the break, we've got an expert with the Mountain States Legal Foundation. They actually filed suit on behalf of white farmers that were discriminated against. But no. You listen to these liberal TV stations just drooling over John Tester. I mean, my goodness, with their stupid fact checks. Look, I realize these TV stations are getting millions and millions of dollars from these TV commercials. And I get it. You guys are thinking, wow, if we don't have John Tester destroying the country for the next 6 years, how are we going to get tens of millions of dollars in another 6 years? That's honestly one of the main drivers, aside from the fact that their political correspondents are also biased liberal Democrats. But look, they are worried about losing the payload of the tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars that flood the state every 6 years in campaign commercials. So that's why they're flooding their own airwaves with fake news. And so anyway, we're going to do a fact check here. We've got a guest from the Mountain States Legal Foundation joining us in just a minute. Speaking of fake news, the Associated Press. Did you see the latest from the Associated Press? The best line of the debate between Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy and Liberal Senator John Tester. Tim Sheehy went after John Tester and he said, "While I was fighting in Afghanistan, you were back in Washington, D.C., eating lobbyist steak." And so the Associated Press is trying to say, well, Tim Sheehy had steak too. I think you guys missed the point here. John Tester is the number one recipient of lobbyist cash. Brady Flayton had a great tweet on X, by the way.
Fox on set.
If you've bought an Apple iPhone 16, get ready for what you've been waiting. Apple is set to release iOS version 18.1 on October 28th, and that will bring Apple Intelligence to the iPhone 16 and also 15 Pro smartphones. All is reported by Bloomberg. This is Apple's long-awaited venture into AI, but it won't be complete on its first introduction. There are features the company has demonstrated but aren't included in beta releases. Things like having Siri complete tasks for you across different apps. But this first round should bring an improvement to Siri, allowing it to understand your speech better without you needing to frustratingly repeat yourself. There is also beta testing underway for Apple Intelligence on some newer iPads and Macs with Apple Silicon chips, and with a rumor it will be included on the next iteration of the lower-cost iPhone SE. With Fox on Tech, I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. The skies remain sunny today. High temperatures range from around 80 degrees in Bozeman to the mid-80s in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear to partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures from the upper 40s in Bozeman, 53 in Billings. And then on Thursday, mix of clouds and sun. Highs from 68 in Bozeman to 73 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
What was a mad dash across Montana last week? Quick show from Great Falls for the Electric Co-op's annual meeting. Then we took you to Whitefish for the Equipment Dealers' annual meeting. And then I had to rush back to get home for a football game. Well, we're going to make up for it, Flathead. We are going to have another live show from the Flathead Valley coming up this Friday. Montana Talks live from Northwest Parts and Equipment in Columbia Falls on Friday. In the meantime, we'll keep the phone lines open for you as we take a statewide with Montana Talks Monday through Friday, 9 to 10.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those, but that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah. Seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is, like, busy, you know? I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Remember, you have the keys, you have the power. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Cattle producers are slamming the Biden-Harris administration for holding a pep rally yesterday as producers across the nation face hurricane and fire damages. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association says that real cattle producers are facing catastrophic natural disasters, and instead of addressing the immediate problems hurting farmers and ranchers, the Biden-Harris administration hosted a pep rally to prop up their failing Bidenomics agenda at the White House with animal rights activists front and center, the group said. Ethan Lane with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association said the event was attended by animal rights activists and environmentalists, as well as a call for more government regulations when it comes to cattle markets.
These are all issues that have been done sort of behind closed doors, and the event was populated mostly by groups like Farm Action, animal rights focus groups, very little representation from real cattle producers there. And that kind of speaks to the campaign nature of this event. This is not a serious policy event. A few weeks before a pretty contentious national election and some pretty contentious Senate seats up for grabs, trying to protect some folks like Senator Tester in Montana that are highly vulnerable in this environment.
NCBA said the White House should be focused on much needed disaster relief and why the Biden administration continues to import beef from South America. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Oh, we got a message here from a listener in Roundup. Sorry, it doesn't have your name here, or I'd share your name. But the listener in Roundup says this on the Montana Talks app. Q2 fact-checked the hurricane response this morning and simply spewed all the propaganda from DHS. Follow the narrative. Yeah, well, that morning show host is a big-time liberal. Very big time liberal. I think her uncle was in one of the Tester campaign commercials. And so no surprise that the Q2 morning show would just spew out. And there's several great folks that work for these TV stations, but it's the far left liberals that are running the political agenda here. Travis, let's skip the Fox News update here at the bottom of the hour, because we got a great guest now with us on the phone lines. William, is it Trockman? Sorry, I should have figured out how to pronounce your name before I got you on the program here. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah. All good. Trockman, like a track runner.
Trockman. All right, I like that. All right, with the Mountain States Legal Foundation, incredible organization. In fact, I think one of our favorite guest hosts here, David Noble, is a part of one of the advisory boards, I think it is, for the Mountain States Legal Foundation. Incredible organization. Hey, so I went off when I saw this so-called fact check on one of the local TV stations here. And their headline, Truth Be Told. And then their whole story doesn't contain the truth. In fact, their story contains falsehoods. They're claiming that, oh, yeah, that whole political campaign commercial saying that white farmers were discriminated against, that there was this race-based farm loan forgiveness program. They're saying it never happened. And I'm like, wait, no. I was like, we talked about this back in 2021. In fact, apparently Mountain States Legal Foundation, you guys were a part of the legal battle.
Yeah, what was I doing with my life for 2 years if this is all a fact check? That didn't happen. So, yes, in 2021, you probably remember the ARPA, the American Rescue Plan Act. That was the very first $1.9 trillion. There have been other trillions spent since 2021. But that very first one in March of 2021, after Biden and Harris got into office, included Section 1005, which offered up to 120% debt relief for farmers and ranchers who had FSA loans that were still outstanding. Now, you'll notice 120%, that's higher than 100%. So people were actually getting a windfall, but only non-white farmers and ranchers were eligible for this debt relief based on COVID-19. And so it is 100% accurate that white farmers and ranchers were not eligible for this debt relief benefit because John Tester voted for that exact plan at the behest of Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey and Senator Raphael Warnock from Georgia. So there is nothing more true on God's green earth than that John Tester voted for a discriminatory bill.
Yeah, and then, you know, I had a story on our Montana Talks website about how the Democrats' COVID relief was going to discriminate against white farmers. Glenn Woods down in Wyoming, I shared a write-up from him about, you know, how a judge had kind of ordered a halt to some of this stuff, and yet they kept pushing it. And as you pointed out, John Tester voted for discriminating against white farmers. I mean, I made the point at the time that if you were a wealthy Hispanic farmer in California, you could get your farm loan forgiven. But if you were, you know, Ole freaking Canole on the High Line of Montana, nope, sorry, no debt forgiveness for you.
That's right. So it had nothing to do with your economic circumstances, how hard you were hit by COVID-19. We brought a case in Tennessee that got the whole program halted. But what they're going to try to do is give out big checks to non-white farmers and ranchers saying your debt is forgiven and here's a little bit of extra money for you. That's the extra 20%. And it didn't really matter whether you had a number of losses from COVID-19 or not. You could be, you know, a very wealthy African-American farmer with a little bit of FSA debt and still get it all forgiven. So that happened.
Well, and let me also be clear here, and our farmer rancher friends get this because, you know, they've heard about this news in the farm and ranch news over the years. We know that in the past, the federal government did discriminate against black farmers, for example, which, again, why trust the federal government? The same federal government that mismanaged, you know, Indian trust fund money, for example. But, oh, let's put all our trust in the federal government. So if a black farmer or if any farmer was discriminated against by the federal government, yes, yeah, the federal government should have to pay up and pay compensation on that. That's not what this was about, though. This was about, nope, it's purely based on race. It's purely based on race, right?
Yeah, so there were two settlements under President Obama, Pickford 1 and Pickford 2, that relate to what you're talking about. That there were black farmers who faced discrimination a generation ago, and they got recompense from the federal government for that discrimination. That's very different than what Senator Warnock and Senator Booker were saying was discrimination. They said that President Trump's COVID-19 relief plans were discriminatory towards black farmers and ranchers because 98% of those dollars went to white farmers and ranchers. But something like 98% of farmers and ranchers are white, so it's not exactly discriminatory that happens. And any event, that's not discriminatory. That's just like a fact of life that a lot of money goes to where the money flows. So it's not exactly intentional discrimination to say, okay, that's where the money went. So I want to be careful about acknowledging too much discrimination. The discrimination that really did happen a generation ago, that's already been recompensed. quite a while ago.
So I got a great note from Jan Reberg, and, you know, she's an attorney and, of course, the spouse of former Montana Congressman Denny Reberg, and she pointed out several issues here. One, the fact-checkers bungled their job. I almost wonder if they deliberately bungled their job based off of how bad the political coverage is here in this Senate race in particular. Two, the federal government was and continues to discriminate against people based on race or sex. Three, Tester did vote for the act, which was the basis of the discrimination against white farmers and ranchers. So, yes, Tester voted for it. Yes, they were discriminating against people based on race or sex. But it's still, but discrimination is still happening in this current regime.
That's right. And you heard Kamala Harris a year or two ago say that when it comes to disaster relief, we ought to be putting equity front and center. And that is code word for giving out relief based on race and sex. And you don't have to take my word for it. They have an Emergency Rescue Plan Act that we're currently suing over that involves disaster relief where, depending on what race you are, you get more benefit from the federal government. Now, we just got an injunction from a Texas court halting that program for the time being. But until a few months ago, they were 100% giving out disaster relief, of all things, based on race. So if you had a tornado hit your farm and you applied to the USDA, the Department of Agriculture, for relief, depending on what race you were, you would get a different number, amount of check from the federal government. And that has been going on for years now under the Biden-Harris administration.
Well, and I'm seeing that even in the midst of this, you know, Hurricane Helene disaster, the same type of equity garbage. I thought I printed up a news story here. Maybe it was a Daily Wire piece or wherever, but they said how FEMA, the Biden-Harris FEMA, is still pushing this whole DEI equity nonsense with how they dole out storm relief. And obviously for us here in Montana, we don't get hurricanes, but we've got the Elk Fire, the massive 70,000 plus acre fire straddling Montana and Wyoming. So are they going to give, you know, fire relief based off of race and gender, et cetera?
They have, absolutely. So that's part of the emergency rescue plan. It's not just for tornadoes and hurricanes, it's for fires as well. So they have absolutely done what they call progressive factoring, which means just giving you a different amount of money for the disaster on your property based on your race and sex. Yeah, I have very serious concerns about the relief efforts on Hurricane Helene because they've made these comments before about putting equity front and center. In his early months in office, Joe Biden issued an executive order telling every agency you need to put equity front and center. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if FEMA has taken the order from the guy at the top, or supposedly at the top, Joe Biden, and said, okay, well, we have an executive order from the president. We need to put equity front and center in all things we do. That includes hurricane relief. Maybe that's Hurricane Helene, and maybe that's the next hurricane that we might see in the next few days. But it is very troubling to see people at the highest levels of the federal government saying, it's really important what skin color you are and when we dole out federal dollars for emergency relief.
My goodness, wow. If our friend John Jackson, the Joker from X, were here right now, he would say, this is your daily reminder that these people are effing insane. William Trachman with the Mountain States Legal Foundation, great to have you on the show. That was an incredible report. Thank you so much for a real fact check this morning.
Anytime. Happy to be here.
All right. Appreciate it. All right. Thanks so much. Okay, we got to take a quick break. Linda in Billings, I'll sneak you in before our next guest, if you can stand by on the phone lines.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I was just at this incredible banquet on Saturday night, the Montana Pro Rodeo Hall and Wall of Fame scholarship fundraising banquet and gathering. Big thanks to the president of the organization, Brent Jordan, for having Jessica and I at the event. What an incredible event. So many incredible rodeo families that were there in attendance. And anyway, I need to do a write-up about that on our Montana Talks website here at some point. Scott Miller, the Carbon County Commissioner and fellow Army veteran, he had a great crew there doing the Honor Guard. What do they call themselves again? They're like the Cowboy Color Guard or the Cowboy Honor Guard. I need to do a write-up for our Montana Talks website. Just a great event. all around, got to see friends from across the state of Montana that were there for that. But yeah, I can't believe the Nile already taking place this weekend. Man, the time is just flying by. We're going to chat with David Allen, the general manager of the Nile, here in just a second. But first, Linda in Billings is on the phone lines. Linda, thanks for staying on after our last interview. What's on your mind?
Okay, there's a couple things. I listened to McInerney and Valley this morning talking about Sheehy and Tester and how Tester lied the whole time. But the important thing is that the rockets that they brought in from New Mexico, fact. They know about them. They don't know exactly where they're at yet. And that the terrorist groups that are here in our country are going to be activated at a certain time. They haven't got the codes yet. It'll probably be the news outlets. They're probably ABC, NBC, all those people. That's going to be the code. That's what they feel. And BlackRock is buying up all these mines, including Stillwater, for their palladium. This hurricane that came through is weather warfare. They're buying up the land up there in North Carolina because of the lithium and all that stuff underneath to make these batteries and what have you. So they're full of information this morning.
Where did you hear them at? Yeah, because General McInerney and then General Vallely, who you mentioned, he lives in Big Fork. In fact, I'll be in the Flathead Friday, so I need to see if General Vallely will come over and join us. Where did you hear them this morning?
They were on His Glory on Rumble.
Oh, okay.
They were talking to Pastor Dave. It was a really interesting, it was really good. People need to be aware that these people are going to be activated. And I'm guessing if that guy said to interrupt our elections, it's just a wild guess that that's when they're going to do this because they don't want an election.
What was the rockets in New Mexico? I don't think I had seen that story yet.
There were those missiles that came in, those M something or others. There was eight of them that came in through New Mexico that the terrorists and cartels brought in. They're saying that's disinformation. It's not.
Interesting. Yeah, General Paul Vallely, he served several years in military special operations. He served in a senior capacity at PACOM. I think now it's Indo-PACOM, but basically what was known as Pacific Command back in the day. And yeah, General Paul Vallely now lives in Big Fork, and he was a longtime Fox News contributor on national security discussions and more. All right, interesting. Linda, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's jump right into it here. Great to see David Allen. Man, that was such cool news when we heard earlier this year that, David, you were going to be taken over as the general manager for the Nile, the Northern International Livestock Exposition. Sometimes we get these acronyms, and we forget what the acronym actually stands for, but we know what the Nile stands for.
Yes, sir. Yep,
America, freedom,
yep.
Rodeo, agriculture, right? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, good to see you, David.
Thanks. Excuse me. Good to be seen, actually. Appreciate the time. We got Nile is here. We start this Friday night, Pro Rodeo Friday and Saturday night. And one highlight we have, Jess Lockwood, the PBR champ, is turning PRCA this year, or for the 25 season. And his goal is to qualify and make the NFR in 25 because the new season has started for points. And so Friday night at the Nile will be his first PRCA bull ride, and we're anxious to see what happens.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of us as Montanans, we think of, as everyday Montanans, obviously, we think of summer kind of being the rodeo season because that's when we get out and really enjoy those outdoor rodeos.
Right.
But really, this is when things really get going and the clock resets and these guys are out and these men and women are out to really start racking up the money and racking up those buckles.
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, the NFR later this year, a huge payoff for those that make it. But, we're real excited. Two nights of pro rodeo this year, this Friday and Saturday. And then the following weekend, I have a rodeo event that's really grown in popularity, the Ranch Rodeo. And That is a lot of fun. We had 32 ranch teams entered this year, which was a big number. And they'll qualify next Friday on the 18th. And then the 19th will be their finals. And that performance is in the Metro. So everything's at the Metro Park. And all the pens and whatnot for the different cattle breeds and the stock show and the horse show, all of that started going up a couple of days ago, and the dirt's all in the arena, and we're just starting to put final touches on things. And got a huge representation of youth every year at the Nile, which is really cool to see. About 600 to 800 FFA kids come for judging competitions and whatnot. And that's next week, next Monday and Tuesday. And then there's a fourth grade ag program that's been going on for years. It's over 2,000 fourth graders will go through the Nile grounds and little classroom and whatnot.
Get to see bulls up close and personal and more. Yeah, my kids got to do that back in the day when they were in fourth grade as well.
Yeah. So for a lot of them, it's the first, maybe only time they've ever even really experienced a cow or a horse or, you know, anything agricultural related. And living here in Montana, we have to be better at that.
It's crazy when you think about it, because if you travel anywhere else in the world, people just assume if you're from Montana that we all live on a farm or a ranch. But look at the massive, the number of people that actually work in farming and ranching. Although it's a huge part of our culture, a huge part of our economy, population is actually very small. And some of these kids in these bigger towns, dare we call them cities, this is their chance, their only chance to really see it. Rodeo is continuing to go strong, I feel like, too. Do you get the sense that we've seen this revitalization of Western culture, Western lifestyle, Western sports, et cetera?
Yeah, so I hate to say it, but I've been in the rodeo game as a promoter and marketer and whatnot for over 50 years, and rodeo's never been stronger, never been healthier than it is right now. It's exploding in a lot of these Western markets, and it's great to see. And Billings and Nile is actually going to have, I'm giving you a little inside baseball now, I'm going to come back in a month or 6 weeks or so, and we've got a couple of huge pieces of news to announce for the future of Nile and all of that.
But, well, I know you want to do some big things because you mentioned 50 years in the rodeo business. We talked with you before about your time in the NASCAR business, and you were basically right there with Dale Earnhardt Sr. and our good friend Bo Wagner here in the Billings area, too.
Right.
And so, and then you, big marketing guy with Wrangler back in the day, too? So
I was director of special events at Wrangler for a spell, and that's where Dale and I actually met, and Richard Childress. That's where we all started working together, and I was with Dale and Richard from then till Dale died in 01.
I got to meet Richard down in at the SCI in the Safari Club International Convention down in Vegas a few years ago when it was going on at the same time as SHOT Show. I think he told me to say some bad things about you or something
I'm
like
sure
that.
I'm sure he did. Yeah. I'm sure he did. And I have pictures of him too, but neither one of us will give them out.
You're also the former CEO of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. When you say you want to do big things for the Nile, why does it matter? Why does the Nile matter so much in your perspective?
Well, it does matter. I take it kind of personal that, again, what we were talking about earlier of what ag represents and the Western lifestyle represents, or at least what I think it should represent to everybody, and especially anybody in Montana. You don't have to live on a farm or a ranch to understand and appreciate what agriculture really does for all of us. And it does way more than we'll ever know. But that lifestyle needs to be celebrated and needs to be understood.
Well, and it's incredible. The Western lifestyle, it's not just farming and ranching. It's people selling boots. It's people selling hats.
Absolutely.
It's people selling jeans. It's people selling buckles. I mean, how many businesses in Montana are a part of this Western lifestyle? David Allen, if you can, stand by. We'll chat more after this.
Sure.
The This is the sound of your ride home with Dad after he caught you vaping. Awkward, isn't it? Most vapes contain seriously addictive levels of nicotine and disappointment. Know the real cost of vapes. Brought to you by the FDA.
Fox News commentary.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre is getting a promotion. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Emily Campagno, host of the Fox True Crime Podcast. On June 8, 1989, an affair between an FBI agent and his informant ended in a deadly dispute. FBI agent Mark Putnam murdered his pregnant lover, Susan Smith, in the coal mining town of Pikeville, Kentucky. This week, I speak with retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Jim Huggins about how he was able to elicit a confession from Mark Putnam. Available now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Current White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre is failing up, which seems to be a common theme within the Biden administration. She will now serve as senior advisor to President Biden just in time for his last few months on the beach before he retires as president and heads to the beach. In a statement, the president's chief of staff said KJP's, quote, counsel will be critical to get as much done as possible for the American people in the coming months. KJP will now be alongside some of the highest ranking folks in the administration. And given her controversial performance as press secretary, I don't know how comforting that is, but in her defense, it cannot be easy to defend the record or behavior of Joe Biden. This KJP promotion is effective immediately, but don't worry, she is also committed to being Joe's mouthpiece at the press podium through the end of his administration. I'm sure that's welcome news to our own Peter Ducey, who seems to thoroughly enjoy pushing back on her loose interpretation of the facts. I'm Tommy Lahren.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. If you're looking for an extra source of income, there are different online options for you to score some dough. When thinking about a side hustle, keep your interest in mind and try to think of job opportunities where you can expand on those interests. Social media has become a popular side hustle where you can make money through brand deals, which are basically partnerships between a company and a creator. Social media apps like TikTok and YouTube also have certain programs in which individuals can make money through their apps. Or you can try selling your unique handmade and custom items like t-shirts, jewelry, or home decor on online marketplace Etsy for a profit. Another way to make money online is freelance work, which can come from writing, tutoring, graphic design, language translating, and more. Once you figure out freelance jobs you're looking for, conduct an online search to find opportunities that may be a good fit for your talents. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thank you for talking.
For more, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So one thing I want to do in the 8 o'clock hour coming up, because we're packing a lot in this morning. We have a very busy schedule this morning. Usually we try to free things up so we can take a lot more of your phone calls, but today is one of those very busy days. Brandon Whitman, the CEO of Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative, is going to come in talking power issues and more to kick off the 8 o'clock hour. And then at 8:40, we're going to talk rank choice voting. This rank concept of rank choice voting, CI 126 is trying to move us down that path. So we've got a guest, Sam Rogers with the Foundation for Government Accountability, is going to tell us just how rank this rank choice voting stuff really is. But I think in that gap there between 820 and 835, I want to give the latest on this. On these attacks against Attorney General Austin Knutson, the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court is pushing these sham accusations against Attorney General Austin Knutson. It's election interference. It's kangaroo court-type garbage. I want to talk about that because that hearing starts at 9 o'clock this morning, so I want to chat about that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. I thought I would have gotten to it already. David Allen, the general manager of the Nile with the Nile Rodeo and much more coming up here later this weekend. Just your thoughts, you know, this Western lifestyle. I guess what do you want to tell people? I mean, you've got an interesting marketing background. How that whole world has changed has got to be pretty fascinating, from Super Bowl commercials to digital advertising and on. Anything that you want to share with our listeners?
Whoa. So, you know, back in the day, now I sound like my dad or something, but back in the day when we did advertising and marketing, it was just completely different. I mean, now you have all these social media devices, different social media outlets, and there's just so much more at their fingertips to market. It's just a whole different game. But we've really struggled, and you and I were talking just briefly, trying to advertise for the Nile this year. We can't hardly buy any television because of the election cycle. And, of course, this is a hot election here in Montana. Huh? And most all of the inventory is bought up. And
crazy.
We can't touch it. So it's been a real struggle for us to get on TV with ads. So we're utilizing social media and streaming and all of these things that we never even imagined 30 years ago, you know. So it's good and bad. It's just different, I guess, is the best way to put it. But it's a whole different ballgame of marketing.
Yeah, it's crazy that local businesses, local events can't get the ad time on TV to promote their local events, to promote their local businesses, because of all this out-of-state money flooding the airwaves and campaign commercials.
Exactly.
Well, that's why, like with our radio, you know, our business, customers and clients, we wall them in. So, hey, no, you know, we're not going to just boot you off because some pack out of D.C. came in flashing some dollar bills at us. You're going to stay on the radio. And then, yeah, when there's openings, then the political stuff can go in those openings. But, no, we're going to support these Montana businesses.
Right, and we appreciate that, too, because radio has been a real lifesaver for us in the whole market here and frankly, all of eastern Montana, because that's really what our reach is eastern Montana, parts northern Wyoming, you know, all of that is kind of in our footprint of who attends the Nile and those coming for the stock show that are showing different cattle breeds and whatnot. I mean, they're coming from hundreds and hundreds of miles away. So,
oh yeah, well, it's kind of like this Montana Pro Rodeo Hall and Wall of Fame banquet that I was at Saturday night. I mean, they had a cowboy out of Eureka, Montana, make the trip all the way from south of the Canadian border, and then the Blue Moon. The Blue Moon in Columbia Falls won a big award for best Western nightclub in Montana. That was kind of cool to see.
And they're celebrating the Western lifestyle, which I like. And a quick shout out to Warren Johnson. I was really tickled they honored him because that's a real cowboy, Warren is.
David Allen, great to see you. Look forward to a great show this weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron.
I'm Evan Brown. The U.S. Supreme Court is ready to tackle the subject of ghost guns. Oral arguments are scheduled for today at the High Court for the case involving what power federal agencies might have to ban guns the federal agencies say they can't track. So far, the feds, in this case, the Biden administration Justice Department, are 0 for 2 in these courtrooms. The case is named for Jennifer Vanderstock, one of the original plaintiffs who, along with the Firearms Policy Coalition, sued the U.S. government over the ATF banning by rulemaking of kits allowing people to assemble their own firearms. Such firearms have no serial number and don't require background checks. A federal district in Texas ruled the ban to be unconstitutional And the DOJ lost the appeal in the Fifth Circuit courts. And now they want to have the U.S. Supreme Court rule. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.